God has given you the authority, man, to love your wife. And that's why in the book of Ephesians, it says this. It doesn't say anything about the wife loving her husband. And the only way that can happen is when the husband is loving the wife. Read your Bible. These are things that are important in marriages. Very important.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Royal Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it's good to have you with us for our study of God's grand design for marriage. Pondering the first union of a husband and wife, Royal will encourage us to pursue more in our relationship with our spouse. Our society views the marital vows as one that's easily broken. But today, you'll find that in God's eyes, the words you spoke on your wedding day sealed a lifelong binding commitment. Let's join Royal Reese with our study, God's Creation of Man and Woman.
So this morning, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 28. Let's start with the beginning, as God speaks. We'll read the scripture in a moment. Let me give you a little introduction here. This is not the sixth day of creation, sixth day. We know the number six is the number of men, imperfect. But this particular moment, God is going to create a perfect man and a perfect woman. Man becomes imperfect when he sins against God. And then I wrote this down, the account of the creation of the land, creatures on the sixth day distinguishes two types, the living creatures that dwell on the land of humanity, and then in turn, the former are divided into three groups. Number one, livestock. Number two, creatures that move along the ground. And thirdly, and wild animals. So let me read the scripture. He says, verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and so it was. It's incredible how God creates the world. But when he creates man, he gives him the power to name every animal. So awesome. Every animal. People don't, a lot of times, they don't see the power that God has given to us. Not only Adam calling out to all these animals, but then he has no wife. And God sees the emptiness and the loneliness of man. How he needs a wife. How he needs a wife in his life. And that's why here in chapter 1, verse 24, he not only talks about the creation, but also the humanity is distinguished, notice, by male and female. Male and female, verse 27. And God says, he created in his own image, the image of God created, male and female he created. We are going to see the divine command of God, and God said. That's a command. That's divine by God, and God said. Which means we have to obey it. When he prophesies, what did he do? The prophets and God said. How many times does the Bible say, thus saith the Lord? Thus saith the Lord. More than 1,900 times in scripture, the authors claim this message was from God. Was from God, not from man. God. Expressions such as, thus saith the Lord, appears approximately 500 times in the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. And more than 1,200 times in the prophets. Some 3,800 times the Bible declares God said, or thus saith the Lord. Moody's handbook, he says, the Old Testament claims that its pages record God's revelation. Over 4,000 times the Old Testament says, thus saith the Lord, as it specified, makes clear that its origin is from God, not from men. And then he follows with a comment, God made. What did he make? He made male and female. That makes him the creator of the universe, creator of the world. And a lot of times people don't see him as the creator of the world. You know, a lot of times people, they don't really believe in God. But as Christians, we need to understand that he's the creator. He made you and myself. And when he made us, he not only made us in the image of God, but he had a plan for our lives. And Adam and Eve blew it. They blew it in the garden. Otherwise, we would prepare for the rest of our lives. But they came to that place where Eve was deceived by the serpent. And then, of course, Adam partook of it, and both of them were kicked out of the garden. And we'll see that later to come in the next couple of weeks. But let me read again verse 26 and 27. He says, "And the Lord said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Notice, we see the purpose of God's creation. To be in God's image. To have dominion over the animal kingdom. For man to have a wife. And then to worship God. So God has a plan for this world. And when God has a plan for this world, he was creating it and completing it by man ruling the world, by us ruling the world. But we sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. Secondly, we see here the creation of man and women in God's image, verse 27 again. "And God created men in his own image, the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created both of them." So the privilege of man, God creating us in his image. I've never seen God. I've never saw Jesus Christ. I never have seen the Holy Spirit. But it's incredible the purpose of God that he has for each one of us individually here. Being male and female. Being married or not married. Single guys here, single women. And then those of you that Satan has really just come against you. He's come against you because he condemns you. Because of what's taking place in your life. And I will say to you this morning, you can start a whole new life. A whole new life in your marriage. So that your children can see that. Children suffer tremendously. We've counseled with so many kids that their parents have divorced. And they don't know what to do. They're confused. And I think that the privilege that we have as God's created each one of us in his own way, that the members of one sex or animals are forbidden, considered the abomination. So we go back to the Old Testament because we talk about all these things that are going on in the world today. Like Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion." There are people that do that today. It is perversion. I thought I'd bring that out. It's perversion. 1 Kings 14:24, he says, "And there were also perverted persons in the Lord." That's speaking of homosexuals. "They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." And then, of course, you know, homosexual lesbians, to me, I have no problem with them if they repent. No problem. I know that mothers and fathers suffer through this. They teach kids today to be homosexuals and lesbians. And that's the work of the enemy, Satan. And if you find your son or daughter in this situation, pray for them. Don't condemn them. Don't condemn them. Pray for them. And God's going to hear prayer. And it takes maybe time, like with Ryan coming to this, Sean coming to God of drugs, and God saved them, and God uses them today. Same thing with your daughter and your son. And then he says the punishment that comes in Leviticus 20:13. "If a man lies with a male, as he lies with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death." In that culture, Any child that was coming against her parents or was a juvenile, they would not go to juvie hall. They would be stoned to death for disrespecting their parents. When I studied that, when I first came to the Lord, I go, wow, this is pretty heavy. He says, their blood shall be upon them. Not on you, upon them. And I think today, it just really hurts you to see so many kids destroyed. So many kids being taken captive, homosexuality, lesbianism, other things that are perversion. And yet the world sees that not as evil. We see it as evil. Now, this is in the Old Testament. We don't kill kids. We don't kill homosexuals or lesbians or anybody that's in sin. In the Old Testament, they did. In the Old Testament, according to the law, they did. But because the New Testament is the grace of God, He forgives. He forgives people.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources to support you in growing closer to your spouse and to the Lord. And if you have prayer requests that you'd like to share with Raul, you can email him anytime at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more with Raul Reese and our study, God's Creation of Man and Woman.
And then secondly is rejecting the truth. Romans 1:24, he says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, or for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then he says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which are due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of that which is evil, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death. This is the New Testament. What happens? People go to hell. He says, not only do the same things, but also approve of those things which practice these things. Who's that? Pastors, people that approve homosexuality, lesbianism, child molestation, all these things. God said, you can't do that. But I found it interesting that in Romans chapter 1, he speaks about 30 sins, which is, to me, that he says, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents. And it's so sad to see children disobey their parents, call them names, curse them when they've been taking care of you all their lives. How can they do that? Well, I did the same thing. And that shows me the grace of God. That God can help. God can do, I've noticed, by His grace to save these people and forgive them. But marriage is sacred between a man and a woman. Sacred. What is the definition of marriage? Wedlock. The institution by which men and women are joined together and form a family. We'll get to chapter 2 in a second. When he talks when men and women come together, it's like 2x4s gluing them together. And if you really try next day to separate 2x4s, there's going to be all kinds of splinters. That's what divorce does. Biblical marriage is honorable according to God's word. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, though better is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And this is the New Testament. The institution of God, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that men should be alone. Notice, he says, I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Again, he's repeating it. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Notice. And then he says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. God saw the loneliness of Adam. God saw that everything was perfect, but there's something missing in his life. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. Isha. Just add an A to that. Ish is man, Isha is woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is not bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha, woman, because she was taken out of Ish, man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be glued. That's the word, glued. To his wife, and they shall become one flesh, coming together. Another thing I want to bring up. Be careful, those of you that are young. Don't run to your parents for your troubles. Make sure that Christ is in the center of your marriage. God has given you the authority, man, to love your wife, to take care of your problems. That's why you married her. And that's why in the book of Ephesians, it says this. It doesn't say anything about the wife loving her husband. And the only way that can happen is when the husband is loving the wife. Read your Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. These are things that are important in marriages. Very important. And then marriage is dissolved by death. By death. He says in Romans 7:2, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So that if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another person. Why? In the Lord. You marry somebody, you know, after being a Christian or in the truth, somebody that's not in the Lord, you're going to have major, major problems. And that's why we're here this morning. Because maybe some of you find in that area of your life that it's been a horrible marriage. But God can make it a very good marriage. If you repent, if you turn to the Lord, if you read your Bible, this is a perfect time in the next couple of weeks. Get your marriage on track so that God can bless you and use your life. Verse 28, the creator of blessing to men and women. He says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The only way to be fruitful in your marriage, again, is to submit to God. That's the only way. There's no other possible way. In the scripture, we see the purpose. Man's happiness in Genesis 2:18. Remember, and the Lord God said, it is not good that men should be alone. And he made our helper comparable to him. God made this woman so that men could be not only fulfilled, but he would feel in his life, wow, I have a wife now. And then secondly, continuance of the human race. That's what God did. Genesis 1:28, again, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, everything that moves on the earth, it's yours. You take authority. And then the perversion comes in fornication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 2, it says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. You see, God made it possible that you don't have to commit adultery. You can have a wife. The only thing is if God gave you the gift of being single, then there's no problem. God says you don't need a wife, you don't need a husband. Stay single. When a person that has been called to be single, to be, notice, a virgin, to wait on the Lord for a marriage. You see, I didn't do that. I was an unbeliever. My wife was a believer and we fell into sin. But I never left her. I never wanted an abortion. I got married to her. Maybe if God speaks to you and he says not to marry a non-believer, and then if you have a baby, what are you going to do? A lot of young girls, they put their babies up for adoption. A lot of women commit abortions too. These are the things that God speaks about. The importance of being, notice, married to your husband or to your wife. In 7:9 of 1 Corinthians, it says, if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You see, to Christians, better to marry than, notice, than to have this passion where you're going to sin. Proverbs 5:9 says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel ones. God proclaims it.
We hope you've been inspired to prioritize the health of your marriage, seeking out the Bible's wisdom and following its clear directions for husbands and wives. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled God's Creation of Man and Woman. If you'd like to get an unedited version with much more teaching, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. Now, we'd also like to tell you about Raul's entire marriage series with 30 lessons that will direct you to God's ways as you work on your relationship with your spouse. It's available on both CD and thumb drive. You'll see that when you develop a habit of intentionally spending time with each other and with the Lord, He'll bless your home with lasting joy and peace. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raul's 30-part marriage series. We'll send you the CD collection for $45 or the flash drive for just $30. Our number again is 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Download our Somebody Loves You app for live-streamed teaching and digital Bible studies, and browse iTunes or Spotify for podcasts of all previously aired radio programs. You'll also find these podcasts on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, home of Raul's Straight Talk, streaming every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Thank you for your partnership. Every tax-deductible gift helps us keep sharing the good news of Jesus with the world. Well, it's our joy to explore the Bible with you, and we invite you to join us next time for more insight into what the Bible teaches about marriage and the rich relationship you and your spouse can enjoy when you each live out your God-given roles. Now, with a final thought, here's Raul once again.
In 1 Timothy 5:14, he says, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage your house, give an opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You see, what happens is you give Satan an opportunity to defame your character, to defame you as a husband or wife. And I'll conclude with this very important Psalm Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like a chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, that the way of the ungodly shall perish.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.